Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We have a kind of a tremendous show for you. You know, Victory Fighting Championships is set to take place on the 16th in Nebraska. And so, you know, I kind of reached out to the promotion a little bit. And as you know, we love to share, you know, the fighters from both their promotions. So I wanted to do the show today because I wanted these fighters to be represented. So without further ado, and hopefully I pronounce it right, I'm going to bring on Troy Naraki. Troy, how you doing?
Perfect.
Did I get it right?
You did, yeah. First try. Nice job. I'm doing well, though. How are you?
I appreciate it. You know, when you look back, I mean, you're an up-and-coming fighter. I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, you've got a tremendous record already. You know, what does it mean for you to be able to have that rapport and been able to fight with Victory pretty much most of your career?
It feels good. Victory takes really good care of me. Ryan Stoddard, is a good guy. He's always there to kind of watch my back, give a little bit of advice, tidbits here and there that I need. I'm just looking to continue and my career and do the best I can whenever I can.
Yeah, Ryan's an awesome dude. You know, you're set to face Tower Robinson. Do you see this fight as a stepping stone for you, Troy, moving forward?
I think every fight that I take is a stepping stone until I reach the top. That's how I look at every fight as another challenge just to come over. I like Tower. I have a lot of respect for him. But it's just another challenge that I'm going to have to overcome. He's in front of me, and I got to go through him. So that's what's going to happen on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it was best said by Linton Vassell and Liam McGeary when I both had them on the show. You know, they said, we're best of friends outside of the cage, but when the cage door locks, you know, we're punching in the time clock. You know, got to go to work. So it's a job. And a lot of people don't understand that aspect. I mean, you could be the best friends in the world, but once that cage door locks, it's a whole new world. You know, I don't know if Scott told you too much about my show. We kind of like to show a 360 view of the fighter, not just in the cage, but in life. So with that being said, what initially led you to the cage, Troy?
Well, I was going to wrestle in college here in Omaha, Nebraska, at a D2 school, UNO Mavericks. And I was applying for classes and getting ready to go, and out of nowhere, the school decided to drop their wrestling and football program. So that was kind of a big hit to me, and I kind of took that as, oh, maybe I shouldn't wrestle in college. And a guy came up to me shortly after the news that I found out about that and asked if I wanted to fill in for a fight on, I think it was around 2 weeks' notice. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And I went in there and beat the dude up in the first round inside a minute or two. I can't remember. And ever since then, promoter came up to me and they asked if I would like to continue, you know, and fight again. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's fun. And that's kind of how it started. And then I kind of took it serious after the second or third fight that I had. And that's where it started.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I've been doing my show for quite a while now, and yesterday was kind of a tremendous day for me because I get to see young fighters like you grow up, mature, and go on to live their dreams. And I hate to take away from your interview, but I'm just going to sidetrack with a little bit of a story here real quick. Benita Lopez last night went out, put on a tremendous show. And, you know, I started interviewing that guy when he was an amateur. So to be able to see the people like yourself and Benita Lopez that truly love the sport, you know, grow and shine and get to follow their dreams, it truly means a lot for us that back you. What does it mean to you as a fighter, knowing that you're creating a path, a legacy, and a destiny for yourself? You know, how much passion does that create in you when you step in the octagon?
It's a lot. I mean, and it's not just like I could relate it to something else, like someone that just plays basketball. It's a lifestyle you got to live, and I think every fighter would agree with that. It's a lifestyle. You wake up every day, you have a routine, you train, you eat right, you live a certain way, and it's a lifestyle. So I put a lot into this career, into this, like you said, like another job right now. And so the passion I have about it is it's a lot. All the practice time, all the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, that you put in, it's all worth it once you get that hand raised. So.
Well, you're on a 6-fight, you know, current win streak, and that's quite tremendous. You know, you look at a lot of these young and up-and-comers, and some of them don't have the best records, but victory always pulls out fighters that are truly tremendous, and they see, you know, great potential in you. Otherwise, they wouldn't have you on the show. And when I went back and I looked, I saw a tremendous young warrior on the rise. When you look over your shoulder now, and you look back to the day that you first initially got in the sport, how much growth would you say that has come to you, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
A lot. I think God being in the sport has kept me out of trouble, kept me humble for sure. It's kind of like a lifestyle. It's a mindset. So always training and having a little bit of dedication, I think, to anything, not just fighting, but it could relate to anything, something in your life that makes you a better person. So for me, that's what I take out of that question, is just making me a better person.
Well, you know, the sport has a real quick way of humbling us, and if we go into it with an attitude. You know, I'm old school, so I look at the Conor McGregor days when they first started as a disrespect to the sport. Everybody that listens to the show and knows me knows that, you know, I don't like that type of theatrics, and you don't seem like that type of fighter, and that's tremendous. You know, you're sitting at age 25. Some would say, you know, that's a little late to get started in your career. What finally initially made you that decision to go into the cage and step up? I mean, you're sitting at 25. Do you think that's a little too old to be in the sport, or do you think it's just the right timing?
No, I don't think it's too old. I feel like I'm at my physical peak right now. I mean, I've never been stronger, never been faster than I am. When I was fighting as an amateur, I had two injuries that kind of set me back for a while, and that's what kind of delayed it. So without those two injuries, I probably would have been, you know, 2 years ahead of what I am now. But during those off times, I really learned about the sport more, and that's when I actually started caring, because I grew up a little bit in those 2 years, and that's why it waited this long. But no, I think 25 is a good age, and you see guys that are younger that are in the UFC that are tremendous athletes, but I feel like I can hang with the best of them, so I feel great.
You've kind of proven that. You know, sometimes on my show, I go back to a specific fight. It may be a win, it may be a lesson taught, but you'll get the pertinence of the question. You go back to 2013, you step in there with Cameron Gilliam. You know, that night you suffered a lesson, but I think two things came from that, my friend. I think you realized how much you love the sport, and I think there was something inside your heart and in your mind that made you realize that, you know, you were where you needed to be, and it lit a passion in your heart and in your soul. And I think from that point forward, you truly proved who the warrior you are. Would you say, going back to that fight, that was an instrumental fight in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't remember that. Well, you said 2013, so I would have been 20 years old. That fight definitely humbled me a lot. After the fight, I didn't really take it well. I just wasn't in the right mindset. But once I kind of got over it and realized like what I did wrong in the fight, it really motivated me to get back in the gym and just to work on the mistakes I made and make sure that it never happens again. So, yeah, that fight definitely, it changed. It changed. I believe that fight was the turning point in my career because it was my first loss. So ever since then, I've trained a different way. I've practiced a different way. I've done a lot of different things. So that's a big turning point in my career.
Well, yeah, you haven't lost since. So when you look at in that retrospect, it truly defines you. You know, like I said, my show kind of goes different angles, and we touch on different things. Just because people see what they see on social media, they see what they see on TV, but they make assumptions sometimes, and they really don't get to see the fighter for who they are. So who was, you know, Troy Naraki, the young man growing up before he even knew what the cage was?
Well, honestly, I mean, I was just I live in Bellevue, Nebraska. It's not a big town, not a small town. So I was just a normal kid, Nebraska boy, worked hard at everything he set his mind to, and I was a nice guy. I've actually never been into a fight outside of the cage. So I mean, I have a lot of friends, great family, and that's what kind of just. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a normal guy, nothing special.
Yeah, just a humble man. You know, there, coming from where you come from, there's only two things that really come out of it, and that's wrestlers and fighters anymore. You know, and some of the best in the business come out of that state. When you look at family, you know, how much did family back you, Troy, when you decided to make this change in your life, being that you are such a humble character and soul in life?
Well, my family, they are my biggest fans. They are the biggest support system anyone could ever have. And I honestly don't think I could ever have this much motivation or be where I'm at today from what they've offered to me. And at first, I just remember my first fight, my mom wasn't even going to watch. She was, once my name was called, she was going to walk out of the building, kind of just cool off and wait till it happened. But it happened so fast, she didn't get the chance to. And they watched, and they all were just the best support system ever. And ever since then, she still doesn't like it, but she supports me, like I said, 100%. So they're great. They love that I do it, I think, because they, like, again, I can relate it back how it keeps my mind off of other things, keeps me out of trouble, keeps me dedicated. So I'm pretty sure they love what I'm doing here.
I think a lot of people do, my friend. You know, come December 16th, what did it mean to you to get that phone call from Victory to ask you to come step up in the octagon once again?
I was expecting on it. My last fight was in July, so I was just waiting on another call, whether it be from Victory or another promotion for me to get back in there. I like fighting for Victory because it's here in Omaha, Nebraska. So it was a good call. It got me motivated again, excited just to get back in there and do what I love doing.
You know, from Daniel Cormier to Tim Sylvia to Joe Dad, I've asked several of them, you know, because they're all tremendous athletes in the sport and warriors. And, I kind of want to get your thought perception, because we look at certain avenues in life like the sport, and we have people that we look up to that we want to emulate, you know, someone that kind of drove us, you know, that direction. In the aspect of you, Troy, who would you say that person was and why?
I don't know. I mean, growing up watching GSP, he's my all-time favorite fighter, George St. Pierre. He's like kind of a big idol, but honestly, I don't know. I don't have a big person that kind of motivated me, but I watch all sports. I competed in football, wrestling, and baseball in high school. Those are my things. So I watch everything, and I guess I could name off a bunch of them that motivated me to be, you know, as good as they were. But I would just say, relating to the sport, I mean, George St. Pierre's all-time great, so he's a great person to try and idolize, I guess you could say.
Yes, I agree with you. And behind every talented fighter, such as yourself, there's always a unique core, a unique part that really doesn't get any recognition in life, and that being your trainers, your gym, sparring partners, and things of that nature. When you look at that aspect of your family and that part of your life, you know, how much does that mean to you, Troy, being able to have that type of stability going into a fight like this on December 16th?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, again, my family is a great support system, but my friends, too. I mean, I have a huge following here from Bellevue and Omaha that they, again, it's just the motivation to get better every time. And the more fights I have, there's more people that come every time and root and cheer for me. So that means a whole bunch. And then even to my teammates too, I mean, it's not a mandatory thing that they show up, but they have the same goals, the same motivation that I do. So, I mean, showing up to practice and going in there and having a hard practice, beating each other up, it means the best for both of us, for everyone in the room. So that's just it's a really good feeling when everyone supports you like that.
Yeah, it really is. But what I was getting at, and I'm sorry if I didn't come across very clear, was besides, you know, the family that supports you and back you, that's your main core, and you're always going to have that. What I was meaning, when you look at the training aspect, the people that have helped mold you into the fighter you are today, you know, you look online and you try to research it, and it shows no gym affiliation, but I'm certain that there's a group of individuals that you train with that you would like to give respect to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I train at a Premier Combat Center here in Omaha, Nebraska. It's ran by Ryan Jensen. He's a UFC veteran. Great coach. He knows so much about the sport and so knowledgeable, just about not technique, but just the all-around lifestyle, because he's lived it since he was, a teenager, like a young teenager. He's been doing it forever. So he's a great guy to learn from. And then I'm probably going to forget some people, but a lot of my training partners, Dakota Cochran, Derek Minner, Alonzo Martinez, Brian Monahan, they've fought like the guys that have gotten up from Nebraska to big shows. So, I mean, they're all right there with the best with everyone else. So the training partners I have, they're the best around here in Nebraska. So Premier Combat Center is the best gym around.
Most definitely. It's tremendous to hear. You know, one thing I like to ask on my show from time to time is, you know, because I've had legends, I've had world champions, I've had up-and-comers, but, you know, you haven't been, you know, in the sport too terribly long. So what is it like for you each and every time when you're sitting in the back before a fight? What kind of thoughts go through the mind, go through your mind, Troy? I mean, because I know everybody looks at a fight different and everybody goes into it with a different aspect. What's your mindset?
Well, before a fight, it's kind of a daily routine I do, not just like when I'm at the arena, but I kind of just relax. I don't try to get too amped up. I don't try to think about it too much, because then I'm running a million things through my head. And once I get to the arena, I kind of just relax, walk around the arena, maybe step in the cage, look around, look how many people are going to be there. If I have more teammates of mine that are fighting that night, and if they're fighting before me, I'll go out and watch them and, you know, give them as much support as I can. But when it's my hands are taped and it's time to start warming up, it's something just clicks. I mean, it's tunnel vision. I focus in. I don't think about anything else. Just the start of me walking to that cage and just the motivation, sight of me seeing my hand being raised. That's all that's on my mind. So I got to do whatever I got to do to do that.
You know, the sport is a tremendous place. I've been in it for 21 years now, and, you know, of course, I lost my leg. I had to take up photography to still remain in the sport, but I mean, there's just nothing like it. But, you know, a question people ask me quite a bit is, why do these fighters love to take a job that they get punched in the face? And, you know, I had a little short stint as a fighter, and the way I took it, you know, I explained my scenario, but, you know, I figured I would ask you because, you know, I don't ask very many people this question. Matter of fact, I think you'll be the first. But what is it that motivates you? I mean, you've taken a job that you get punched in the face for a living. You know, what is that aspect? How does that change you and create you and mold you into a better fighter? Does it even hinder you? Because I know when I was a fighter, you don't feel it. You know, it's like dopamine kicks in. You don't really feel the punch because of the adrenaline. Would you say the scenario is the same for you?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, just I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love doing you know, anything that has a risk. That's what I like. Yeah, I mean, I'm super competitive, even from ping pong to you know, MMA. I'm super competitive. I just love that adrenaline rush. I mean, this isn't my only job too. I'm a full-time firefighter here in Bellevue, and then that describes another lifestyle that I live too. I mean, it's just adrenaline rush. Every call is different. Every day is different. Every day is not going to be the same. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's just that adrenaline rush that I love and the competitiveness.
You know, well, we'll touch on that other aspect because I was going to get there in a second. You know, what inspired you, Troy, to take another profession that has you giving, you know, back to the community and the people of the community so much? It takes rare individuals to give back so much in life. What inspired you to do so?
It's just something I've always... Are we talking about firefighting?
Yes, sir.
Are you talking about... Okay, yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I mean, what little kid doesn't like the big red truck driving down the road with lights and sirens? I mean, you never see a kid look away from it. They're always looking at it. So once I saw it as a little kid and had the mindset of, oh, I'm going to be a firefighter one day, I just never let go of it. And I had some really good family friends. Their families were all firefighters, so I kind of grew up in the realm of that lifestyle. And that's the life I wanted to live, so I did what I had to do to do it.
Yeah. See, that's one thing that is tremendous about you. You know, I had Ashley Cummings on last week after she'd won her pro boxing debut as an MMA fighter stepping up in the blue corner. But what is tremendous, and a lot of people don't get this, there's a lot of fighters that all they do is train to fight. But, you know, when you look at the aspect of your life, you actually have two full-time careers. You have a firefighter and you have the fighter. You know, it just shows your passion and your love for life is truly tremendous. You know, when you look at life, it's kind of strange. We cross paths with people for different reasons. Earlier we talked about Ryan Stoddard and the gentleman that set up the show, Scott Zur. When you look at those two individuals, how do you feel that they've helped you move forward in life, and what do they mean to you, Troy?
Well, they mean a lot. I wouldn't be here in the position I am today without them. If Ryan didn't see, you know, something in me, he wouldn't give me the opportunities that I've had in the past. And, it's just simple as that. They've been a big part of my career. So I just wouldn't be where I'm at today. All my success has, you know, a small portion that goes to them. So, yeah, I'm truly grateful for everything they've done.
Yeah. Ryan and Scott are some truly awesome people. My friend, I'm going to ask you to make a statement because come December 16th, we've kind of touched on a little bit earlier, you kind of made a paraphrase, but for the people that support you, for my listeners, the followers of Victory Fighting Championships, what can they expect come December 16th from you, Troy?
They can expect, you know, what Victory does best, big bright lights, big fights. That's what's going to happen. Don't blink. It's going to be an exciting fight. Tune in on UFC Fight Pass. It's going to be a great night. A lot of fun.
Yeah, they've put on quite a few shows, and you know, this is number 59, and it's a tremendous organization. You know, I know these gentlemen in all different aspects and retrospects in life, and I'm like you. They do everything first class, so I can see why you'd want to fight for them. You know, as the future grows and the day comes close and you get more wins under your belt, what would you like for you to happen in your career, Troy? You know, where would you like to end up after this path, you know, comes to apparition or to where you want it to be?
Well, you know, my future goal is to, you know, make it to the UFC, be a UFC champion. That's every fighter's goal. Otherwise, what would they do? You know, you're there to be the best. You're there to beat the guy in front of you. But once I'm done, I'd love to, you know, relate back to the sport somehow, whether it be completely MMA or wrestling. I coached wrestling for a while here in my high school until I got my job that I have now. You know, some you always want to give back to something in life, and that's another thing that's, you know, been brought up a lot in Premier with Ryan Jensen is he's giving back to us what he's done for his whole entire life, and I believe that's one thing that, you know, everyone should do with some aspect of life is give back to something. So I love the sport of wrestling. It's kind of made me who I am today. So I'd love to, you know, even do just little kid wrestling and help out. Teach some little dudes on a lifestyle that they could choose to live.
I love that aspect. You remind me of Tim Elliott when you said that, teach some little dudes some wrestling. You know, as Tim's in the UFC, he's a good friend of mine and a brother, and, you know, the guy doesn't even really look at his career. His main goal in life is his daughter and teaching the youth wrestling. So it's a tremendous attribute you have, my friend. At this time, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. I'm going to let you give any shout-outs to your sponsors, friends, family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program. The floor is yours, my friend.
All righty. Well, thanks. First off, thanks for having me on the show. Big shout-out to friends and family here in Bellevue and Omaha, Nebraska. My teammates, I named off a couple earlier. I'm sure I'm going to forget them all. But in my gym, Premier Combat Center, my sponsors, GNC, for my supplements, Green Belly here in Omaha, Nebraska. Got the best healthy food in town. Nissan of Omaha's helped me out a lot. Twin J out of Fremont, Nebraska, Twin J Chucking. Scott Johnson, he's a great dude, been helping me a lot. I just picked him up as a sponsor, and he's doing big things for us. I got Hogaveen Chiropractic here in Bellevue. They, you know, align me up when I need it, make me feel like a new person every time I walk out of there. Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping is another kickboxing, getting in shape gym here in Omaha. And I think that's about it, so...
No, where can my listeners and the people who'd like to follow you find you on social media?
Instagram is troy.naraki. I think my Twitter is t_rockme. Or you just type in my name. Hopefully it shows up. Facebook is Troy Naraki. I'm not a big social media guy, but I'm on there. So hit me up.
Most definitely. You know, thank you so much. I look forward to December 16th. It's going to be a tremendous night for you. Thank you once again for honoring my show. You've been a truly great guest. I look forward to having you back on again, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot to you, brother. Take care.
All right, you too. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Troy Naraki, Victory Fighting Championships. Check him out. December 16th, Omaha, Nebraska. Tremendous, tremendous young kid. We're going to take a one-minute timeout, and when we come back, we're going to have Austin Vanderford.
What up? It's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price. stripes nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back, and I want to give one more shout-out to Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. If it wasn't for you, the show wouldn't even occur. On that note, we're going to kind of jump to another part of the card. You know, this young man, Austin Vanderford, that we're getting ready to bring on, is another really actually undefeated pro, and 7-0 combined. So I thought, you know, it was pertinent to do these two fighters because you look at the sport nowadays, and you truly got a lot of these fighters that really don't show that much passion or love for the sport. And Victory has the ability to spot the ones like a diamond in the rough. You know, I guess basically it'd be like finding a needle in a haystack. And in my opinion, that's what they truly have done with these two fighters. They're needles in the haystack. They're both truly humble. They're both proven to be tremendous warriors in and out of the cage, and all aspects of life. With that being said, you know what? Let's rock another Victory Fighting Championships fighter, if my phone works right today, because I've been having trouble with the studio. But let's try to give Austin Vanderford a call.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Austin. This is the Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing tremendous, my friend. You know, I just got through interviewing another fighter on the card, Troy Naraki. It was a tremendous interview, but I love getting everybody's aspect. So I'm going to ask you, what does it mean for you, Austin Vanderford, to be fighting on December 16th for Victory Fighting Championships?
It's awesome. It's a good opportunity, and I love the fight, and I'm excited to perform.
Most definitely. Now, you're coming off a tremendous, you're on a tremendous winning streak. Since you've gone pro, you're 3-0. When you look back and you look at where you started and where you're at now, did you ever surmise that your record would be this tremendous?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you never really plan to lose, and you always prepare to win, and I came, the last time I had competed before I started fighting was the national tournament in wrestling, and I won that, and just kind of keep it going.
Well, you know, you started... You actually were going to step up in the cage as an amateur in 2012, which turned out to be a canceled bout. And then you didn't step back in the octagon until 2015. What was it that caused that preemptive layoff?
I had just finished up my wrestling season in 2012, and I hadn't been training or anything. And a couple of my buddies and I were just going to go take a fight. And then my opponent had pulled out or for whatever reasons. And so I had went back to Alaska for the summer and fished and worked. And when I got back, I decided to give coaching a try. And I really loved that. I coached at Southern Oregon University as a grad assistant. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I started training, and I think I had like two or three bouts where the guys just backed out, and I got a little frustrated and just kind of laid off it until I got my first fight.
Now, you say two things that just totally perked my interest. One, wrestling. I don't know if you've ever listened to my show before, but I've had everybody from Joe Warren to Juan Archuleta to Joe Daddy Stevenson to you name it, and the aspect of wrestling is truly starting to be a truly dominating factor in the sport of MMA nowadays. You look at even just Team Body Shop MMA. They got Joey Black Eyes Davis, Aaron Pico, and Brandon Halsey. But take Aaron Black Eyes Davis. He's a Division II wrestler, 133-0 out of Notre Dame. You know, and the question, the reason I say this, I'm going to ask you a question because I'd like to get your opinion, as I've asked all of them from Joe Warren on down. You know, when you look at wrestling, it's truly a genre of the sport that a person truly has to beat you. Now, when you look at the aspect of MMA, you could be the best in the world and get caught with a bad punch and be knocked out and take a lesson that way. So when you look at both genres of the sport, would you say that the wrestling aspect was more of the fierce competitor and brought that passion more out because the opponent truly had to beat you, whereas in the octagon, one punch can end your night?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I kind of get the same feelings as I do when I was getting ready to wrestle and I don't know. I can't really distinguish between the two, like getting ready for a wrestling match and getting ready for a fight. I mean, I get the one punch can end your night or one slip up and you get submitted. But the same goes for wrestling. I mean, you can get thrown and something that you just didn't ever see coming and get pinned, and then your day's over then too. So I can't really say that I can tell quite that big of a difference between the two.
Well, the other thing you brought up, it truly is a part of my life, is Alaska. You know, when I was from 7 years old until I was 14, I had the opportunity to live in Nenana, Alaska. You know, what does Alaska mean to you, my friend?
Alaska's where I was raised. My parents moved there when I was a couple months old, and so Alaska means a lot to me, and it's where I feel like I've learned a big deal about myself and where my values are held, or, you know, just growing up there and learning how to, I guess, be tough in a way, and but I love Alaska.
You know, I truly do too, man. When I was a kid, I guess it's hard for some people to surmise that are from big cities, but or even the lower 48. But with the town I lived in, I went to school in Fairbanks, but I lived in a town called Nenana, which was right on the Nenana and Tanana River, where they did the yearly icebreaker, where they put the pylon, you know, out on the river.
Yeah, I've been to Nenana.
Oh, you've been to Nenana?
Yeah.
You know. And I lived right on the river, right on the Nenana River. And every morning I could walk out of my loft, and not even, you know, 60 yards away was the Y, where the rivers both met. And being able to walk where no man has ever walked before, being able to, you know, value nature in that aspect, I don't think it's a concept that truly many people in the lower 48 will ever grasp. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a unique place, and it's definitely different than the lower 48, and, you know, all parts of Alaska are different too. Where I was from, you know, probably had a lot of different things about it than where you were living, It's a fair assessment, but I think there's a lot of things too that I didn't get to experience being in Alaska that other people in the lower 48 do, and all over the place as well. So I definitely think Alaska is extremely unique. I think every place you live at has something awesome to offer and all that.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, you know, but I'm 51 years old, so when I lived there, things were probably a lot different back then. But you know what amazes me is, you get a young man from Alaska, you get a young man that finds his passion and his love for wrestling and for MMA, you know, what truly defined that path for you and led you in that direction? Who was your mentor?
I've always just been a competitive person and I've always been into athletics, and I've had a lot of people who've helped me out and guided me and kind of kept me on the right path as far as athletics and academics and all that stuff. But I don't necessarily know that I have a specific mentor per se. Like I said, I've had a lot of great people, but more than anything, I've just had a lot of support from my family and my friends, and they've really always pushed me and helped me out a lot. So,
was your family always initially perceptive to the thought and the avenue you wanted to take in life as far as being a cage fighter?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yes and no. I mean, the only one that really probably it worries too much is my mom, but she's grown up watching me wrestle, and I've always kind of been a rough kid and all that. So, I mean, really, my family supported me throughout the whole thing, and there hasn't really ever been a time where they haven't.
That's awesome, brother. You know, when you look to December 16th, you know, I kind of think this is a fight. This is my personal opinion, but I think this is a fight that has been perfectly matched for you against Kenny Lucia. I hope I say it right. You know, I watched a little bit of footage on him, and, you know, I think this is a fight that you could truly go out and prove yourself, and, you know, not just as a warrior, but and make a statement in the sport. Would you say that that's an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think anyone that I go out and compete against or fight against, I can do whatever that I want to do and prove myself in any way. I just have a lot of confidence in myself and my training and everything that I've done to be where I'm at right now. But yeah, definitely. I think Kenny will be a tough opponent, and he'll definitely be someone that I'll have to take seriously. But I think that I'll be able to go out and make a statement and kind of prove to everybody maybe that I'm not just a wrestler and that I'm a well-rounded fighter.
Now, let's speak hypothetically. Let's see you go out there and you're victorious at Victory Fighting Championships 59. You know, what are the plans? And I know a lot of fighters don't like to, you know, look beyond a fight because that's pretty much not fair to their opponent. You know, but let's say you do, like I said, hypothetically come out victorious. What are the plans? What are the future in the life of Austin Vanderford?
I don't really mind talking about, because the plan is always the same for me, is I'll take this fight and whatever happens, and then I'll get ready and prepare for the next one as soon as I can. So I've signed a multi-fight contract with Victory, so my next fight will be with them as well. And, so I'll take care of business on the 16th and then, and then be ready for the next one.
How did it feel for Victory to reach out? I mean, you're young to the promotion. How does it feel for you to sign a multi-fight deal? I mean, like I stated before I brought you on the air, I think with you and the other fighter that I had on the show today, I think they truly have found the needle in the haystack with both of you, because the passion that you guys have, the sport is truly there. But what does it mean to the fighter to have the promotion see that type of potential in you?
It means a lot. I think this sport, to get to the top of the game, you gotta, you know, you not only have to be a good or a great fighter, but you also have to have a little bit of help on the way and take advantage of opportunities. And yeah, just, I think this is a really great opportunity, and it feels awesome. It feels great to have a promotion that is as well known as them reach out and offer a multi-fight contract. And I think that both me and Victory are excited for the future and the path that we'll go on together.
Well said, my friend. You know, I got to ask you, because it's kind of been bothering me. You know, I seen a post that you did that Real Alaskan Music. What does Real Alaskan Music mean to you, my friend?
Did I post it? What was the post again? Sorry.
Oh, I guess that. Actually somebody tagged you in it. I take that back. I'm wrong there. Actually, there's a guy by Mika Day did a post on your page. It says, how does all sponsorships work? And it's from Real Alaskan Music. Well, I guess obviously somebody's looking at you to go with them. What would it mean for you to sign with Real Alaskan Music, or is it something that's on the plate?
Man, I don't know. That's kind of a hard question. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, my dad owned a bar and lodge in our hometown of Nanilchik growing up, and so I spent a lot of time there and listening to all different kinds of music. My childhood friend's dad played a lot of live music there, and I don't know, I guess just some good folk music, and I don't know, it's a hard one, but I love all music, so, yeah.
Hey, I'm the same way, bro. I'm 51 years old, and I still do rap shows. I do everything. I've had everybody from The Game to Immortal Technique to you name it on my show, including The Lunatics. It's kind of crazy. I always feel in life you're never as old as your age. You're only as old as your heart. And
yeah.
So I'm 20 years behind my age, so that's a good thing.
But, well said, yeah.
You know, I appreciate that. You know, one thing that I've learned to take away from this sport is that humility gets you really far. Integrity, you know, is just the cherry on top of that. Speaking with you and the other fighter, you can see such tremendous humility and integrity in you. How much of your family would you say instilled that in you, and how much of your training partners have instilled that in you? Because, my friend, you're a very cordial fighter.
Well, I appreciate that. That's been the way that I've always wanted to be, and I guess people kind of take on different personas when they get into the sport, I feel like MMA deserves a lot of respect because we're doing things that, you know, most people in the world are afraid to do, or, you know, just can't. It should be a respectful.
Having just a hard time hearing you.
You know, one of my main training partners out there. You know, you're
breaking up just a little, my friend.
What's that?
I said you were breaking up just a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Okay, cool. So I was going on, you know, one of my main training partners is Chael Sonnen, and he's kind of got the opposite persona as me or whatever. So my family's taught me to be humble and respectful, and yeah, that's what I always plan on being.
You know, now I know Chael personally because, you know, I am part of the inner workings with Bellator, you know, and
yeah.
he's a tremendous guy. But you guys, you're right. You're two different personas, the true American gangster and the true American Alaskan. You know, it's kind of a big difference there. How does that emulate for you, though? How does that work out for you in the gym, having someone of such magnitude and ability that has been a part of the sport, a pioneer of the sport, as you would say? How does it feel for you, and how much confidence does it instill in you having someone like that in your corner?
It actually helps quite a bit, and probably as much as anyone would expect. Chael has been doing it for a long time, and so, you know, it's always when you get a compliment from him or if he's got a little bit of knowledge to share with you, it always feels a little bit better because, you know that he knows what he's talking about. So it helps out a lot, and I'd say more than anything, it helps out mentally with, you know, being able to think if you can hang with him, you know, one of the best in the world, you can hang with anyone for the most part. So, yeah, Chael has been a great teammate for me and a really big help, and I've really appreciated and enjoyed being able to share the practice room and be on the same team as him.
Most definitely. Not very many people even get that type of opportunity in life. You know, my friend, come December 16th, I think it's a night that is truly, like I said earlier, match perfect. I think it's a fight that you're going to win, in my opinion. That's from research, just going back and looking. You know, I think you hold tremendous abilities in the cage. You know, if you had to make a statement thanking Victory Fighting Championships, the fans of yours, the people that support you, what would that statement be?
Well, I would just say that I appreciate everyone. I mean, they really each part of or each group that you talked about plays an integral part of being successful. And this is an entertainment business as well. And so it takes the fans, and it takes having opportunities like Fighting for Victory and all that. So I'm just appreciative and thankful to be where I'm at so early in my career. And yeah, I'm just really excited and look forward to the whole journey.
It's a tremendous journey so far. You know, you sit back and, you know, when I went and I looked, I'm going, this kid's 7-0 combined, 3-0 as a pro. And it's tremendous because you don't get the humility, like I said earlier, or the integrity that I've gotten from both of the Victory Fighters on my show today. You know, it just shows what Scott Zur and Ryan Stoddard and everybody involved with that promotion are truly doing. They truly know what they're doing. They have a tremendous promotion, and I'm honored to bring their fighters on each and every time. You know, I do want to ask you, you know, when you have that little bit of downtime away from the sport, a little bit of downtime away from everything involved in it, what do you like to do to just kind of kick off your shoes and relax?
I've got a beautiful girlfriend that I truly enjoy spending a lot of time with, and we both are busy a lot, and we're both training a ton, but yeah, we've got a great life and a fun life. I'm kind of in the middle of my weight cut right now, so I'm not feeling great, but we got a fun little date night planned for tonight, and yeah, so just spending good time with her, and I like to spend as much time with my family as I can as well, and I mean, I feel like we're pretty lucky to be able to train and fight for a living that, you know, it's kind of hard not to enjoy everything and doing all that. So,
yeah, most definitely. I feel you there. You know, we talked about it before, but come December 16th, what could the fans expect out of Austin Vanderford?
I think they should expect a fun fighter and someone who's gonna go out and look to finish their opponent.
Well said. You know, I hope you appreciate this show. My show's a little bit different. You know, I've been doing the show for about 12 years now, but I always believe that people should see all aspects of the fighter. They see what they see on social media, they see what they see on TV, but they never get to see the other side of the fighter, nor do they really get to hear it from them personally. And the platform that I created was kind of designed to do that, so I hope you enjoyed it. You know, it was truly an honor to have you on the show today. I look forward to having you back on again after December 16th. You're a tremendous young warrior on the rise. I think you've got a great future ahead of you. On that note, I'm going to pass the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, too, and I did enjoy myself. I thought it was a fun and different interview. Going off of that, like I said, you know, we have to get a lot of help as fighters and all that. So my sponsors have been great. Gunsmith, Legion Athletics, Bad Boy, and CBD Drip. And my team, Gracie Baja, and the Real Burt Camp have been an awesome two teams for me. Just thanking my friends and family, and for those interested in my life and what I do, you can follow me on AustinB170MMA, and that's for Instagram and Twitter. So, and thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's truly an honor, man. You know, I don't get to interview very many fighters that have been in Alaska, so I hope you don't mind me kind of digging there. I was kind of trying to reminisce and in the days. I miss Alaska so bad, bro. Before I let you go, I'll tell you something real quick. One thing I did love about life, and people, you'll understand this and appreciate it. You know, every morning when I used to go out there, people don't understand these, the Athabascans, the Inuits, and the Eskimos, they would go out there, they make these fish wheels. And they're basically just two logs on each side with a sideways windmill, I guess you'd say. And you'd see a little old Athabascan or Eskimo person sitting in the back, and the water spins this thing, and it drops the salmon in there. And, you know, they would, of course, club it to put it out of its misery. But, you know, this is how they sustained life. And when I looked at the simple aspect of how they lived and how appreciative they were of the state and just of nature and the camaraderie between them, it just changed who I was forever. You know, being able to have that opportunity to be around, you know, traditional people that shared true traditional values instilled a part of Alaska in me that I don't think a lot of people will ever understand but you, because you're from there. You know, and I just wanted to share that with you, because I think the people of Alaska are truly beautiful people. I think the natives are something to be held high and respected, and it just left a profound mark on me and changed who I am as an individual.
Oh yeah, for sure. I agree 100%, and it really is. It's a cool place. It's a unique place, and I try to go back and visit as much as I can. I still got most of my family there and all that. So yeah.
Well, I regret not being able to be like you and get to go back there. But on that note, thank you once again. I wish you the best of luck come December 16th. Victory Fighting Championships 59. I hope you come back on the show, brother. You were a tremendous guest. I wish you the best of luck, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And, yeah, we'll get on after the fight.
All right. Sounds good. God bless, and you have a good day. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Austin Vanderford. God, I think Victory, like I said, has done a tremendous job in these two young warriors. You know, if you're in that area, I suggest you go out and check out Victory Fighting Championships 59. These two young, humble, undefeated pros, you know, are going to put on quite a show. I think the humility that they express is second to none. It truly has impressed me. I'm very grateful and honored that they give me the opportunity to interview their fighters as my show is just that of humility and integrity. Once again, I want to thank Finished MMA Juan Martinez for presenting the show. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't exist. The United Way Merced, the86ers.net, use code DON. Get 15 or 20% off on your order, free shipping over 50. Tremendous cause. Look them up. The Fighter's Voice shirts, if you want to get them, you can get them through Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. I think they're $20 a pop. It goes to keeping the show going. On that note, I want to wish everybody a tremendous Sunday. You have a good day, and God bless.
Party people, so sign it for, then you'll get funky. Don't do you later, then you'll get funky. Yeah, just hit me.